We are on the Mishnah on Tesemet Aleph. This year has been waiting 2 weeks now, so I hope I remember it, but I think so. Sorry? Yeah. So Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Molichin Es Hasulon Mishovach L'Shovach, Avol Matehu Mechalon Elachalon. Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to move a ladder from one coop, or one dovecot, really, to another. But you are allowed to shift it from window to window. This obviously has nothing visible to do with the cases that we discussed previously. The only thing is, it's Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and it's a Yom Tov law. And that's good enough for me. What it really is, though, is a law about Maris Ayin, the issue of appearances. If you take a look at Rashi in Molichin Es Hasulam, so Rashi says, Kasal Gadait, right now we're assuming, Sulam HaMiyuchad Lekach, V'nikar Shushal Shovach. We're assuming that what we're talking about is a ladder that is designated as a dovecot ladder. What that means, how people know, I don't know. It doesn't have a ledge on it to hold the paint can. Maybe that's the way people know. But it's a ladder that people know is for the dovecot. The time of the Beis Shammai Mefarish Bigamara da Asri, the Aval Pishu Bali told Gozelos Lesimchas Yom Tov. He says the reason for Beis Shammai prohibiting is going to be explained in the Gemara, and they're going to say that he can't do it even though he's coming to take the birds for the sake of a Yom Tov meal. Nonetheless, Beis Shammai says, we're not allowing you to go from one dovecot to another, only from window to window within one dovecot. So we'll find out why, but that's the basic rule. Ubeis Hillel Matirin, and Beis Hillel says, no, you are allowed to. So Beis Hillel says, more movement of the ladder is allowed. Beis Shammai says, less movement of the ladder is allowed.
So how did this work? You just had like, or is he talking about like a single line? You had that cross like lined up, or were they like one cave?
So take a look at the second Rashi on the Mishnah. We might as well read it in there. He says, Mechalon Machalon, from window to window, Baoso Shovach Atzmo, which means within one dovecot, Shekein Derech Shovach, Lios Bumachitzos Harbe, because you had a lot of dividers within each dovecot, Kan Lechol Zug Vizug, Vachalon Lechol Kan Vakan, you had a nest for each pair of birds, and a window for each of these nests, so that the birds could fly in and out to their nest that they're familiar with. So that's your setup. So you have your one long dovecot, think like an airplane, right? With window, that ends, and then on some other high place, you have another dovecot, and you can't take it from one to the other. We'll see elsewhere in the Gemara. They talk about, like in Bava Basra, they talk about it considerably. These dovecots were up on really tall poles, and they could be out in the middle of nowhere. Because they have discussions like, what if you find a stray bird as you're walking? Do you have to worry maybe it came from the dovecot? Does that make it the property of the owner of the dovecot? Or do we say, no, he just puts this thing up there, and the birds choose to roost there or not roost there? Are you allowed to set up your dovecot near somebody else's, knowing that you're going to lure his birds to come to yours? Various issues. Fundamentally, though, this is a Maris Ayin issue. Rashi doesn't say it here, but the Gemara is going to tell you that the concern is people are going to think that you're trying to fix the roof on which this dovecot is located, or the roof of the dovecot, I suppose, perhaps, which you would not be allowed to do on Yom Tov. In other words, there's nothing wrong with me taking birds on Yom Tov. I'm allowed to shech them on Yom Tov. But there is something wrong with fixing the dovecot. So, if there's a concern that people are going to think this is a construction ladder and not a, let's get a bird ladder, then that's Maris Ayin. So, there are two questions that we are going to have to ask as part of this discussion, as the Gemara is going to go through it, that go well beyond dovecots. Question number one, if I move a ladder in public, like we're talking about here, is that Maris Ayin? It's not a dovecot specific ladder. Is that Maris Ayin or not? And that appears to be a machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Second question, if Maris Ayin is a concern here, because it's way out there where everybody can see, what about if you reimagine the scenario and now it's a private thing, there's a fence, no one is able to see it, there's no one for miles around. do you still have this concern for Maris Ayin? Follow? Number one, is Maris Ayin an issue when you're moving the ladder? Number two, would that apply in private as well? That's what our Gemara is going to do. Gemara is going to begin with a statement from Rav Chanan Bar Ami, but we're going to have two versions of Rav Chanan Bar Ami's statement. And for that, we have this table. That's why I put the table on your sheet, is to try to help with this. So watch this as we go through it. Amar Rav Chanan Bar Ami, Machlokes Birshus HaRabim. Okay. In terms of the chart, actually, I'll explain it now. You'll see it as we go through. But the first two rows, where the question is asked, Ha'im Yesh Maris Ayin B'Mil Sazu, is there Maris Ayin? And then Im Kain, Ha'im Zeshach Gam Kein L'Rishas Hayachid, if there is Maris Ayin, would it apply in private also? The first two lines where you see those questions, that's the first version of Rav Chanan Bar Ami. Okay? Those are his answers to the first time round. The second two lines, the bottom two lines of the table, that's going to be the second version of Rav Chanan Bar Ami. You follow? Okay. Where he's going to give different answers to the questions. So the first version, Amar Rav Chanan Bar Ami, Machlokes Birshus HaRabim. He says the debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to whether you are allowed to move the ladder from Dovkat to Dovkat, that debate is itself in public. De Beis Shammai Savri, Haroa Omer Latiach Gago Hutzarech. Beis Shammai says, look, what is the onlooker going to think? He's going to think you're fixing your roof. That's a problem. That's Maris Ayin. Therefore, I'm not going to allow it. Ubeis Hillel Savri, Shovcho Mokiach Olav. Beis Hillel says, no, everyone can see it's a dovkat. You get birds. So therefore, they're not going to assume you're doing construction work. They're going to assume you're getting birds out of the dovkat. That is Beis Hillel's position.
So Beis Hillel's position is not that there's an issue that relates to Maris Ayin. It just isn't Maris Ayin in this
Correct.
Case.
There is no Maris Ayin involved. Exactly right. Aval Birshus Hayachid, but if it's in a private domain, Divrei HaKol Mutar, everybody agrees that you're fine. So if you take a last look over at the table, right, answering the first question, is there Maris Ayin? Beis Hillel says no. And therefore you can't determine from Beis Hillel whether there's such a thing as Maris Ayin in private, because he didn't believe there was Maris Ayin here even in public. That's why I just put a dash. Beis Shammai says there is Maris Ayin in this discussion, in this case, but not if it's in a private domain, only in a public domain. Clear? Okay. So the Gemara asks, Ini, is that really so? V'Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Didn't Rav Yehuda say, quoting Rav, Rav takes the position that if something is usur for Maris Ayin, it's usur whether in public or in private. And my problem is that doesn't fit Beis Hillel, because I can't tell you anything about Beis Hillel from here. And it doesn't fit Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai says it's Maris Ayin in public, but not in private. You follow?
That's what Rav Chanan Bar Ami is interpreting.
Well, that's how he's claiming Beis Shammai, right?
Okay.
Well, that's our question, but Howie, you can't accept that. You could have easily given an answer. Having nothing to do with fire and ashes and no blood.
Okay.
Again, our problem is that Rav requires that we be consistent. If it's Maris Ayin in public, it's Maris Ayin in private. So you're telling me neither Beis Hillel nor Beis Shammai fit. Why doesn't Beis Hillel fit? Of course Beis Hillel fits. Beis Hillel said it's not Maris Ayin in public, it's not Maris Ayin in private. It's entirely possible.
No problem with Beis Hillel.
Yeah, it's entirely possible that if it were Maris Ayin in public, he would be stricter than Beis Shammai. We've had that before.
Okay, I'm lost on one thing. Well, I'm lost on many things, but are we saying Alan said that beforehand? Are we saying that he's not holding that moving the ladder is Maris Ayin, or he's not holding by Maris Ayin?
He's not holding moving the ladder is Maris Ayin. In this case, it is not Maris Ayin because you have a dovkat right there, and therefore everybody knows that you're just getting birds.
So we're not getting from this any perspective
of that Maris Ayin as a global concept.
Correct.
That is exactly right.
Okay, so then we don't have any answer here what Beis Hillel holds on inside or outside.
And therefore, why couldn't I assume that Rav agrees with him? Or that he agrees with Rav, speaking anachronistically.
I mean, you could assume whatever.
You can assume whatever you right, but you can assume whatever you like. In other words, you're challenging Rav Chanan, right? You're challenging Rav Chanan Bar Ami in saying your read of our case must be wrong. But it's not necessarily so.
But it is wrong in the Beit Shammai side.
Yeah, okay, so Beit Shammai doesn't agree with me. Okay, it's happened before. So the only answer I can offer is that the reason why they don't do this is either because they don't want to portray Beit Hillel as stricter than Beit Shammai, which you would end up doing, because you would then be saying that Beit Shammai here says it's Maris Ayin in public, but not in private. And Beis Hillel, according to you, would say, if it is Maris Ayin in public, it is Maris Ayin in private. Maybe you don't want to do that. Or, alternatively, it's because we have other options for resolving the sugya, and therefore, we don't particularly care about forcing it into Beis Hillel.
Is it true, though, that if something is Maris Ayin in public, generally, it's agreed that you can't do it in private either?
That's where we're going in the shir, that question.
But again, just from our Mishnah, you don't see what Beit Shammai holds in private either.
From our Mishnah,
you don't see what Beit Shammai holds.
No, it says
That's what Chanan Bar Ami's explanation of it. Yes, that's what we're talking about. We're challenging what Chanan Bar Ami. We're saying, according to your read of Beit Shammai, what do you do about Rav?
But that's his read of also Beit Hillel.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're questioning him on both.
Right, and the thing is, you're right, but there's no reason to question him on both. My problem is that there's no reason to question him on Beis Hillel. Oh,
but there is, based on his way that he interpreted Beis Hillel.
No, there isn't. Rav Chanan Bar Ami made a global statement about Maris Ayin and the way it works.
Right.
He said, there's no such thing as Maris Ayin only in public. It's either all or nothing. And our problem to him is, you don't have a precedent for that statement, because Beis Shammai clearly doesn't believe that, according to your read of Beis Shammai, and neither does Beis Hillel. My point is, you actually don't know what Beis Hillel believes, because you haven't yet given a case in which Beis Hillel believed there was Maris Ayin even in public. So therefore you can't prove anything about Beis Hillel's position. To which I gave two answers, fine. But that's where we are. But the Gemara has another approach for this. The Gemara doesn't need to work with our case because it has another case. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, which we're about to see quoted. I brought it for you. That's the left side of the table. It's the case of the person who was walking on Shabbos and found himself in a rainstorm. And now his clothing is all wet. So the Gemara says, Tanoi, he will answer, Chanan Bar Ami will answer, it's actually a machlokas tanoi, this issue of whether Maris Ayin is all or nothing. And I have a Tano who believes it's not all or nothing. Disanyo, as the following Brisa says, I should say I have a Tano who does believe it's all or nothing, and that's the one Rav can hang himself on, and Shmuel and Beis Shammai is the one who says no. Disanyo, Shotan Bachama, Avolo Keneged Ha'am. If a person has wet clothing, he got stuck in a rainstorm, he spreads out the clothing in the sun to dry, avalo keneged ha'am, but he can't do it opposite people, because people are going to assume he laundered it. Notwithstanding the fact that everybody saw there was a rainstorm, it's not like he had a private cloud. Nonetheless.
Caleb means his clothes.
Yeah, Caleb often means clothing. Yeah, you find that in Chumash Hebrew also. So the statement he makes is, you spread it out in the sun, but only in private. Meaning, Maris Ayin is a concern in public, not a concern in private. And that's the view that we associate with what's called, for lack of a better name, Tanakama. Whereas, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, Osrin. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say, no, even in private, you may not do it. So Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon are the ones who believe private and public are the same. Clear? What you end up with, if you look at the table, is Beis Hillel, I don't have enough information about, because he didn't believe Maris Ayin was involved in the Dovka case, and I don't have him on record regarding the clothing case. So I don't know what Beis Hillel is in a black box somewhere. Beis Shammai, regarding the latter, and the Tanakama regarding the clothing, said Maris Ayin in public does not necessarily translate to Marasayan in private. At least in these two cases, it's Mutter in private. And then you have Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who say Marasayan in public is Marasayan in private. That's the rule, flat. And there, they actually said it. Technically, you could argue maybe what they said was just about the clothing. Maybe they would say something different than some other case. I don't know. The only one who has given me a hard and fast general principle is Rav. When he said, Kol makom sha'amru chacham mipnei marasayin, every time they say marasayin, afilu b'chadri chadaram asur, even in private, it's going to be asur. So he's the one who has told you flat across the board, this is the rule. Okay. That's the first step. Second step, the second half of Rochanan bar Ami. Ika de Amri. Some said it this way. Amr Rochanan bar Ami, machlokes pirshus hayachid. He says, no. The debate in our Mishnah of when am I allowed to move the ladder? Beishamai saying you're not allowed to move it in a big way. You can only move it in a little way, window to window. And Beisilah saying you're allowed to move it. That is actually a debate pirshus hayachid. Machlokes pirshus hayachid. De Beishamai islehud Rav Yehuda amarav. Beishamai takes this view of Rav, that if it's Marasayin in public, it's Marasayin in private. And therefore they say, Asur. Beis Hillel, Les Lehudu Rav Yehuda Marav. And Beis Hillel does not believe in this statement of Rav Yehuda quoting Rav. And therefore Beis Hillel will say, Asur in public, Mutter in private. Avu Rishu Sarabim, Divrei HaKol Asur in public. Everybody agrees that it's going to be Asur. So in other words, within this second version, Beis Hillel agrees that moving this ladder involves Marasayin, but he says it's only a public concern, not a private concern. And Beis Shammai is stricter, and they say it's Marasayin everywhere. Clear? Lazy, you with me? So that's his statement, to which the Gemara then says, well, now you have a separate problem. Earlier you were bothered. You said, well, now I don't have anybody to follow Rav, because Rav says Marasayin the same, public and private, and that's not Beis Shammai's view, and apparently not Beis Hillel's view. Right? But now, I have a worse problem. I do have somebody to identify with Rav. Who is it?
Beis Shammai.
Beis Shammai. Do I really want Rav agreeing with Beis Shammai? That's not good. Lema Rav d'Amar ke Beis Shammai. Are you trying to tell me that Rav then takes the view of Beis Shammai, that Marasayin is the same, public and private? Remember, Beis Shammai is long before Rav. Rav is first generation Amor, last generation Tana. He's well after. He knows full well what Beis Shammai's opinion is, and that we usually follow Beis Hillel. And that Beis Hillel here says, I am not taking what is Marasayin in public and declaring it to be Marasayin in private. So his answer is, no, he had another Tana he agreed with. Tanoi, it's actually a debate among the Tanoi. I'm not just Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, and here I will invoke the clothing case again. Disanya, as the Braisa says, Shotran Bechama Avalo Keneged Ha'am, you spread them out in the sun, but not opposite the people, right? And that's the Tanakhama's view, is that it is Marasayin in public, but not in private. And Rabbi Elazar Shimon Osu and Rabbi Elazar Shimon say across the board, no. So the answer that Rav will give you is, I actually follow the view of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. That's the idea.
Didn't they come after chronologically?
No. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon?
Yeah.
Right, but that's the point. In other words, there is an existing debate among the Tanaim. Yeah. If a Tana says something that agrees with Beis Shammai, I'm not as bothered. If an Amora does, I'm really bothered. There is discussion. That's not entirely so. Like Rabbi Eliezer is called Shamuti and causes issues. But that's the core idea. I'm just trying to figure out the best way to go through this. Okay. So, working with what we have here, we say that the position of Rav is that Rav is going to take the position that he does, not because he likes Beis Shammai, but because he likes Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. That's the idea. That's the idea. The Gemara then continues and says the following. Masnisen delo ki haitana. Our Mishnah, right, which says that this is a debate regarding moving the ladder, is not like the following view among the Tanoim. Desanya, as the Braisa says, Amar Bishuman ben Elazar, Modim Beishamayu Beis Hillel Shemolichin Es Hasulam Mishovach Lashovach. The Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Beishamay and Beis Hillel agree that you are in fact allowed to move the ladder from one davka to another. So that's an entirely different take. You are allowed to move it. Lo nachleku el lahachzir. The problem is moving it back. Shebeishamay omim ein machzirin. Beishamay says you may not put it back where it was. Ubeis Hillel omim af machzirin. And Beis Hillel says, no, you are allowed to put it back. You know what? I'm gonna recant. Hold where we just held, where we stopped before. Before we start on the Amud base, I'm not gonna flip the side to the next side. Going back to what we said before, I think we're better off not seeing the rest of this before we understand this in better depth. We have Rav making the statement that if it's Maris Ayin in public, it is Maris Ayin even in private, which in our first version of this story, we said has to be taking the view of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon regarding the wet clothing. And in the second version of it, also ends up being Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. The only thing that's really changed is that in our Mishnah, in the second version, Rabbi Chanan Bar Ami takes the view that everybody says that it's usher in public, and that Beis Hillel is going to, in fact, take the view that it's usher in public, but it's mutter in private. That's the idea. Now, I wrote something here in my notes, and frankly, I think it's a really interesting insight, but I don't know where I got this from. I suspect I got it from Rashi. That what he's actually saying, yeah, I got it from Rashi. It's Rashi on the Tanaihi. Okay, so let's read it in the Rashi instead of reading it out of Toshiba's notes. If you see the Rashi about 8 lines up from the bottom on Tesamet Aleph, the last word on the line is Tanoi. 9 lines up from the bottom. Tanoi. Kolomar. Omar Lach Rav Chanan. What Rav Chanan will tell you is, Vadai Rav Savar, De Beis Hillel Afilu Birshus Harabim Sharu. Rav will tell you that he disagrees with me about how to read our Mishnah. It's not simply that Rav follows Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Rav says that this version, the second version of how to read the Mishnah, is wrong. Rav is going to go with the first version of how we read the Mishnah, that Beis Hillel believes it's mutter entirely. Vadai Rav Savar de Beis Hillel afilu birshus harabim sharu. Upaligalai, and he disagrees with me. Va'anad amri ki hai tana, and I am following this other tana, the Amar Shotchan Bechama, who says regarding the wet clothing, you're allowed to put it out in the sun as long as you do it in private. De Lesley de Rav, who doesn't agree with Rav that whatever's usher in public is usher in private. Ve'ahu tana, moki beisela kavasei, de lo itiru elabershus hayachid, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, the Sfira Lehu Kerav, Mok Mishar Yusa, the Beis Hillel, the Masnisin, Vafilu Bershus Harabim, the Kasav Rishot Chomokiach Olav. He says, that Tana, in that case of the wet clothing, the Gemara in Shabbos, that Tana is going to say that Beis Hillel agrees with him, that they only permitted it in private, and that they did not permit it in public. In other words, everyone is going to try to get Beis Hillel on their side, so to speak. My statement, Rav Chanan Bar Ami is going to be that I believe that Beis Hillel says usher in public, mutter in private. Rav is going to say that Beis Hillel says mutter in public and mutter in private. It's a disagreement about how to read what happened in our Mishnah. Rav is going to take the first version of the story. That's the core idea. I believe, like the Tanakhama regarding red clothing, that there's room to distinguish between public and private. That's what Rav Chanan Bar Ami will say. Are we clear, or are we going back and forth too much?
I'm just trying to think of the implications of what's being said. In our Mishnah, what we're saying now is Beit Hillel holds that both public and private is mutar. Beit Shammai holds that both public and private is asur. Or is in that second one, he's holding that public is asur, private. No, he's saying private is. We're saying this.
Who's he?
In the second way we're explaining it.
Yeah.
Okay. We're talking, the Mishnah is talking about private.
Well, the Mishnah mentioned both. Our Mishnah did not mention both.
No.
Right.
We're saying our Mishnah is private. Beit Shammai is holding private both. Public and private is us.
Correct.
Okay. And with what Rashi's saying is Beit Hillel, despite the way that we explained it before, Beit Hillel is holding both or mutar.
According to Rav.
According to Rav.
Correct.
So now Rav, who's holding, like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, he's still saying, like Beit Shammai, and us are both.
So effectively, what we've now accomplished, what Rashi has accomplished, really, is that we've now said that Rav will be able to say that I'm agreeing with Beis Hillel. He will, because he has a different read of Beis Hillel, and he's agreeing with Rav Elazar and Rabbi Shimon.
How is he agreeing with Beis Hillel?
Because Beis Hillel said it's not Maris Ayin here. Not in public, not in private, according to him.
Oh, right. Okay. If it's in public.
Yeah.
Okay.
The idea is that it's odd. It's like we've added a third sort of dimension to this, to the way to read this Mishnah. But the first way that we read it was, yes, the debate that we saw recorded was debate about the public domain, and everybody's going to permit it in the private. That was the first way that we looked at our Mishnah. Second way we looked at our Mishnah is the debate is in the private domain, and everybody agrees that it's usur in public. Right? And then we said, well, then what are you going to do with Rav? And reading the Gemara without Rashi, I said, oh, Rav is Rav Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Because they, as well as Beit Shammai, are consistent between public and private. However, Rashi notes that Rav can say, I like the first way you said it. And the first way you said it, Beis Hillel would agree with me too. Potentially. Because, and this goes back to what I had said before, we didn't know in the first way we read it whether Beis Hillel says the same thing for public and private or not. We didn't have a case to work with. You follow? We're all right? Okay, so let's talk applications and why this is such a big deal. Take a look at source Aleph on your sheet, please. Brisa in the Gemara Ksuvos, classic Maris Ayin discussion. Fellow has a clay roof, standard flat clay roofs like they used to have, and a gutter that drains it. And the gutter is blocked up. It's raining now. They have some massive storm. He's scared what's going to happen to his roof. Eventually something's going to split and all the water's going to come into his house. So, Tanya, Brisa says, Nachum ish galya omer. Tzinor sha'alu bo kaskasin. If you have a gutter pipe, a drain pipe, and stuff builds up in it, kaskasin suggests splinters and pieces of wood and that kind of thing, gets built up in it, and now it's blocked. Mimachon biraglo b'tzina b'shabas. The Eino Choshesh. So what he's allowed to do is he can crush it with his foot. He can crush the blockage with his foot in private, in a way that nobody can see. So he sort of stands in front of it and lets the heel of his shoe descend on it and crush it. That's okay. The Eino Choshesh. And he need not be concerned. My timer. Why is this okay? Why isn't this a problem of Metakin? You're fixing the gutter. Mitakin kilachar yadhu, because it is an unusual method of fixing it, because he's just crushing it with his shoe. And because of potential loss, the Rabbanan did not apply their decree. The decree does not apply in a case where he could end up having a disaster in his house. That's the Gemara. Well, according to Rav, who says if it's usur in public, it's usur in private, how'd you get away with this? It may not be a Metakin problem, right? But it is a Marisayan problem. Why am I suddenly not concerned about the issue of Marisayan? Clear? That's our question. So Tosfos asks this question. Take a look at source B's. Tosfos and Ksuvos. Mamatha Baragla Bitsina Bishavas. Vahada Omar, Kolmakum Sha'asu Chacham and Mipne Maris Ha'ayin Afilu Bachadri Chadaram Asur. When they said that, whenever the Chachamim said Asur because of Baris Ayin, it's Asur even Bechadre Chadarim, even in a room within rooms. Hainu Davka be Isur Malacha de Oraisa. He says that is specifically if you're dealing with a biblical prohibition. That's what we're talking about. When the Chachamim said it's Asur because of Maris Ayin, it's even usher midra, it's even usher in inside. That's specifically if you're dealing with something biblical. Kama shotchan bechama, avalo keneged ha'am. Like the case of the laundry. Meaning, not that what you're doing is biblically prohibited, but what people think you are doing is biblically prohibited. If people think that you laundered this, washing clothing on Shabbos is a deoraisa, that's what we're afraid of. Shem yiru yisberu shekabasan b'Shabbos. Because people see it, they're going to think he laundered it on Shabbos. Even people who see what he's doing will see he's doing this abnormal type of fixing. In other words, if someone walks up to you and says, what are you doing to that gutter? Your answer is, I'm violating Shabbos midirabbanon because the Rabbanon doesn't apply in this circumstance. And they say, okay, and they keep on walking. You can tell them the truth. So the Rabbanan did not prohibit it in private. We have a similar note in Tosos in the Gemara in Moed Katan. If you take a look at source Gimel, Osin called Sarche Hames. The Gemara says you're allowed to do whatever is necessary for a body, and it's talking about, as I added in brackets, Kol HaMoed.
On the Tosfos, okay.
Yeah.
Kind of come up with the case of the clothing. Already said it was allowed. So why would? In other words, you're trying to explain.
Tanakama said what was allowed.
You could do it with Sina on the clothing.
Yeah.
Okay, which is a deraita. So the Tosfos trying to explain how Rav works with.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. Why is it that it should be mutter in private? Okay. So the Gemara in Source Gimel says you can do whatever is needed for the body on Chol HaMoed. Goes in Lo Saro, they can cut his hair. Mechabes in Lo Ksuso, they can wash the shrouds. Ve'os in Lo Aron, they can make a casket for him. And Menasrin HaMenusarin, Minasarin HaMenusarin, Mayor of Yom Tov, assuming you use boards that were already cut before Yom Tov began. So there's no big strain involved. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Af Mevi'in Eitzim. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "No, you can bring the wood Umenasrin Tzina V'Sel Beso, and just cut the wood in private inside the house. That's what you'd have to do it in private." Satoslo's comments: V'Aser Source Dalit V'Aser B'Farhesia. You're not allowed to do it in public. V'Yeshli Tain Tam. He says you can explain why. This isn't like Rav's statement that if it's usher from Maris Ayin in public, it's usher also in private. It's much more like the pipe case. He doesn't explain why it's similar to one and not the other, but the answer is the same statement. The answer is because it's a derabanan issue. It's not a del Raisa issue.
The cutting of wood is not the right thing.
It's Chol HaMoed. Yeah. So that's the that's his position. Now, not everybody agrees with this. Classic discussion. Take a look at source Hay. The Rama in Yoredeya. V'na'agulasos chalav mishkeidim u'manichan babasar oath. He says the practice is to make almond milk and to put poultry in it. Ho've'no rak mid'rabbanan, since it's only rabbinic. Meaning, poultry and milk would only be rabbinic if it was real milk. So therefore, I'm not concerned about the marasayin. But beef, then you have to leave some almonds out to broadcast to the world the Mishur Marasayin, because of appearances, to make sure everybody will know this isn't real milk. So the Rama is in line with what we've said in Tosfos. If it's a Derabbanan, I'm not concerned about Marasayin. However, source Vav, Bisar of Bechal of Mamosh Humi Derabbanan, Veleka Lemechosh Lemarasayin. The Shach writes, it's not a matter of public and private. Don't misread what's going on here and say that it's because you're in private. It's because there's no such thing as Marasayin on a Derabbanan at all, he says. He says the whole thing is a Derabbanan, and therefore there's no concern for Marasayin. Not in public, not in private, not nothing. You follow? That's the that's his position. Okay, it's a side note. And frankly, we don't hold that way. But the approach of Tosfos is that the difference between the gutter case and the laundry case is that we're more lenient if we're dealing with a Derabbanan, right? We're more lenient if we're dealing with the Derabbanan. What does that really mean? When he says we're more lenient because it's a Derabbanan.
It means Marasayin doesn't apply.
What? Marasayin does apply. Other than the Shach, we believe Marasayin does apply.
Well, not in private, though.
But why not? What does that mean when I say, well, this is a Derabbanan, therefore Marasayin doesn't exist in private? So the way we take Tosfos is that Tosfos is saying Maris Ayin is not an issue here because what I'm concerned about is the onlooker, and even if someone sees you, remember that we have two concerns with Maris Ayin. Either the concern is they're going to think you're a bad person, or they're going to think this act is permitted. Either way, the worst thing that happens is what they saw is a rabbinic prohibition. So either they'll think you're guilty of a Derabbanan, and that's not grounds enough for me to prohibit you from doing this, such as to save your roof or whatever it is, or the only thing that they'll think is permitted is something that's only a Derabbanan. It's about the impact on the onlooker. You follow?
I follow. But when it's saying private, it's not, it means private property, but other people can't see it.
Private property,
but there are possible, or it's likely that there are onlookers.
In which case?
When it's saying private, I'm just trying to clarify what private means.
Oh, so private means I have a right to assume that people aren't looking at me, even though it's physically possible. I have the right to assume that people aren't looking into my yard because halachically they're not supposed to.
So on top of the Marasayin, it's a suffix if anyone will actually see it.
So
in the case of the Marasayin in private, I was thinking more of it was sort of a gzeira so that you're doing it in private may get you to also do it in public. Okay, but mm-hmm. Now we're saying it's for the sake of the onlooker who may or may not be there.
Right.
Which is a subject in itself.
It's
the person that's doing it isn't doing anything wrong.
Well, in which case?
We don't have chicken with milk because somebody may see and think it's meat, right? There's nothing.
Well, because we might come to eat meat with milk because we ourselves don't always recognize the difference. In other words, when you ask people who don't know anything about kashrus,
right?
Okay, when you sit down with people who don't know anything about Torah, and you can do this, when conversion candidates or whatever it is, you can start teaching them the basics. You say to them, okay. This is a hamburger. It comes from a cow. That's called meat, and we don't eat that with cheese and milk and whatever it is, and these things are called dairy. Okay? And then, but without explaining what pasuk it's from and whatever else, what would you say about chicken? Ask them what they would say about chicken.
They haven't read Lot Vashogdiva Khalibi, no, they wouldn't know.
They might well assume. So the truth is that when we usually talk about this, it's usually more in terms of the way that chicken and meat are ground up and processed and the difficulty of telling the difference. But I think there is this logical element also of people associate one with the other. And they'll think if you can have the chicken with the milk, what's the difference? I went through this like from the sources years and years and years ago, but I don't remember anymore all the points on it. But the idea isn't simply because of the onlooker, it's also you. We don't want you to have chicken and milk lest you have meat with milk.
You know, but on the one hand, you gave an example that we're not concerned, because when people see it, they're going to know that this one's the Rabbanan and the other one's for the rice. From the very same example, you don't have a clue whether this is
the like. Say it again. What do you mean?
But that was in private.
Which case are you talking about?
We said earlier that we're not concerned. We are concerned that the onlooker, in certain scenarios, we will not be concerned because the onlooker will know that this is an issue in Rabbanan. So it's not a problem, but they would know that mid rice you can't do. And then we're switching tracks and talking about, you know, where the onlooker won't have a clue. So, like,
where do we say the onlooker will know it's a derabanan?
Well, you said that earlier when we were talking about
with the drain. With the,
when you said, no, what I said was, what I said was, even he asks you what you're doing is a derabanan.
Well, so we're relying on what the guy's going to tell him?
No. I was being funny.
Sorry.
I shouldn't have been. The point wasn't.
Joke because it'd be great.
The point is that even if somebody sees you, what he sees you doing is a derabanan.
Presuming he knows.
Knows what?
The difference.
That crushing with the back of your heel. Yes, correct.
Isn't a derabanan? I mean, who's good? Like,
correct.
Okay, but if you look at these cases not from the onlooker but from the person's perspective.
Yeah.
Then what you have is he's gone to the extra step and using his heel to crush it. So the fact that he's doing it in private, from his perspective, he won't make a mistake. He's done an extra step on this Drabanan. So in the private, it's not an issue for him that he may end up doing it in public. Like, he's understood the concept. Same thing with the clothing. He's understood the concept that he had to differentiate, and therefore he wasn't going to make a mistake. From the onlooker point of view, I still have difficulty, but that's why he asks. It's in private. And so I think the main concern and why Tosfos differentiates is on the person himself.
Tosfos's emphasis is on the onlooker. If you go back to source base and look at his language again, he said, why is it that we're permitting the gutter thing in private? Didn't you tell me that if it's usher in public, it's usher in private? That's specifically malacha de oraisa, like the laundry, right? She'im yiru, because if they see yizbur shikvasim b'shabbos, they're going to think that you laundered it on Shabbos. Avalacha lo yiru, Ella. It's all about the onlooker and what the onlooker is going to assume. But take a look at source Zion, because there is a flip side way to look at this. That's the Ran. He says, "Badar Shane Sovra Shane Sovra Nishu Veini Omer Kain." I'm just trying to figure out why I started from that place in the Ran. I cut and paste wrong. This is what happens to me a week and a half go by without looking at it. Yeah. Alright, I cut and pasted in the wrong place. My fault. What he says is, if you jump in the first line to the word dirav, it's a little more than halfway down the line. Dirav ha'chikamar. Derav hachikamar, this is what Rav is saying. Techol davar shehu mutar gamur. Anything that is entirely permissible. V'chachamim asru mipnei maris ha'ayin bilvad. And the Chacham said, we don't want you to do it just because of maris ha'ayin. Think the laundry case. There's absolutely nothing wrong with me taking my clothing that got wet in the rain and leaving it in the sun to dry. There's zero wrong with it. So, ein l'chalik bo bein rishus harav and rishus hayachid. Then there's no reason to distinguish between whether you can do it in public or whether you can do it in private. Shim atamat yolo b'rishus hayachid, because if you're going to allow him to do it in private, you know what's going to happen? Aku Yasa came Birisho Zaradin. He's going to do it in public too.
So it's not the onlooker.
No, it's the person. Kevin Shah Dabar Mutter, because the whole thing is Mutter. Viyomar, he's going to say, Ain't Kan Roim, right? No one sees me. What's the big deal? All lack is Mutter in the first place, right? In other words, you're the person who has the wet clothing, right? And you don't know any better from anything, okay? Your kid came home from yeshiva, and he said, No, I love him. You can't put the clothing out. Why? What's wrong with putting clothing out to dry? Well, because of what people are going to see, right? It's because people are going to see it and whatever. So, can I do it anywhere? Yeah, you can do it in the yard. You're going to look at it and say, what's the difference? People can see, people can't see. I mean, it's a fundamentally mutter action. People will take it lightly. And therefore, the chacham have to be concerned that number one, if you tell him he's allowed to do it in private, he's going to say, well, I'm doing it in public, no one's looking anyway. And number two, that people might see it when it's in private too. Aval, however, hahid aron vitzinor udekavasayu, the case of making the casket, or the case of clearing the drain pipe, right? Where the act is actually an usur act. There's something wrong with the action. You're not supposed to be chopping wood on Chol HaMoed. It's not an appropriate use of Chol HaMoed, if not for the fact that it's a casket that it's being cut for. Or you're not supposed to be crushing the stuff in the gutter. We're just permitting you to do so because you don't want to lose your house. So he says, Lo Shaychi B'Derav Klal, the Adraba Mitzad Atzma Masurin Hain. He says, there, Rav's rule of it's us or here, it's us or there, isn't relevant, because just the opposite, they are inherently us or actions. The starting point is you're not allowed to do this, crushing gutters or whatever. Right? Only because of a need did they say, okay, fine. The aron malacha gemurahi, making the aron is a full blown act of malacha. Mitzinor nami, and the crushing the gutter also. Ha'arinun Allah b'parakav alpi, the Gemara in Ksuvo says, the mitakin kilach royadhu. You are fixing it, albeit in an unusual way. Ela the makom seda lo gazer abanim, but we'll let you because of loss. Hilchach, kevan de asiri, lo ratzu chacham latiran, ela b'tzina. But since it's fundamentally usur, the Chacham said we're only going to permit you to do it in private. Ah, but you're worried about people being permitted to do something in private, then doing it in public too. No. Veleka elamemer nami shelo yatirim klal. He says, you can't say, well, let's not permit this at all. Let's worry about what's going to happen, and therefore don't permit it at all. De'yefshir b'lav hachi. Because you can't. You can't tell people they can't fix their gutter because of the Maris Ayin issue. They're going to lose their house over the Maris Ayin issue. They're not going to be able to bury the body over a Maris Ayin issue. V'leka l'mechesh nami, shemitocha tzina yabalu de parhesya. And we're not concerned that you're going to come to do it in public because you did it in private. Shekeman shadavar asur ba'atzmo, because since the deed is inherently prohibited, yishmalacha, he'll listen to you. As opposed to an act that is fundamentally mutter. So what he's saying is this. He's saying, unlike what we said in Tosfos, my concern is that you might come to do something in public that we're allowing you to do in private. That is our fundamental concern. We can't ban it altogether because these are necessities. But on the other hand, we're going to say, don't do it in private, and in the event that it's something that you really might come to do in public, then we're going to say, don't do it at all. That's the idea. You follow? Where the action is inherently permitted. So, our examples of inherently permitted actions are putting the clothing out that's wet, or, if I want to bring in the case again from the milk, poultry in almond milk, right? The act is fundamentally permitted. The Chachamim worry about Maris Ayin, so Maris Ayin applies in public and even in private, according to this school of thought.
There's a certain irony to this position.
It
seems to be almost.
If it's more mutter, it's more usser.
More usser.
Yes.
Turn this on its head.
Catch 22. Yes. You got it exactly, Joseph Heller. That's exactly right. If it is more mutter, it is more usser.
Right.
But think about the logic. This isn't the only time we see this. We've seen it already in the Gemara in other contexts. Remember the principle, Rabbanan asu chizuk b'divrayim yoser mishal Torah? That there are times when the Rabbanan will actually be stricter with a de Rabbanan than with a de Oraisa, because otherwise people are going to take it lightly. We do it regarding Yom Tov in certain cases. We're stricter for Yom Tov than we are for Shabbos. Because for Yom Tov, people already take it lightly because Ochel Nefesh is permitted. So yes, that's exactly 100% what we're doing. That's the idea that I wanted to get to here, is this distinction between Tosfos and the Ran on how I look at the concern involved in Maris Hayin. Is it, as Tosfos says, based on possible fallout with the viewer, and therefore if all you're doing is a derabanan, we'll let you do it in private? Or is it about the possibility that you yourself are going to get sloppy with it and do it in public? And if so, only where it's a low-level thing, where it's actually an inherently permissible act, am I worried that you're going to come to do it in public.
Going to the almond milk and the chicken.
Yeah.
Okay.
I shouldn't have brought it in. I was muddying the waters, but yeah.
Right. So, it's something that is permissible.
Yeah.
And it's permissible in both.
It is something that is permissible, correct? So the position
is permissible in both.
So Tosfos's position is going to be that if people, you know, if people look at you and what you're doing, fundamentally what you're doing is a permissible act.
But you can't tell the difference between the chicken, whether it's off or whether it's behemoth from where they are. So you're dealing with a permissible act. That's completely permissible.
Yeah.
And it is permissible. Like, this should be out there from Maris Ayin in both public and in private. And yes, permissible in both.
No.
It only says with the basar that you have to put the almonds
out. Well, don't bring in the shach, because the shach himself doesn't have to follow, you know, whichever view you're going to pick here. But as I understood the shach, he was actually disagreeing with the approach of Tosfos. The Shach said there's no Maris Ayin at all by the Rabbanans. You know, let's leave the Shach out. Let's work with the Ramah. Okay?
Okay.
The Ramah did not make any apparent distinction between public and private. Right? He said if it's a Dirabbanan, you are allowed to do this and you don't have any concerns. Maybe the Ramah isn't agreeing, actually, come to think of it.
He's saying that there's no... Forgetting about the bus.
I guess the fundamental problem is this point within Tosfos of what do they see and what they will understand. Because, as you pointed out, in this case, they may not understand what it is that they are seeing. It's really more analogous not to the gutter case, it's analogous to the laundry case.
Okay. I mean, I'm viewing it, I view it from the perspective of the person all the time. No, that's from the...
No, but that's the answer. That's exactly the answer. Tosfos said in the laundry case, this is good.
Yeah.
Tosfos said in the laundry case that because they're going to misunderstand and think they're seeing a de'oraisa, you're not allowed to do it public or private.
Okay.
So therefore, ostensibly, Tosfos should say, people are going to think you're eating meat with real milk.
It should be us.
And therefore, it's us for public and private. Unless Ramah is going to say, people aren't going to think that. They're going to recognize that it's chicken. They may think this is milk, because they can't tell the difference between almond milk and cow's milk. But they can tell the difference between chicken and beef. Maybe he could make that argument.
Okay, but even with the almond milk, he doesn't say you have to do anything special with the almond milk with the chicken.
Ramah.
Right,
but the question is what would Tosfos say? That's really the fundamental question. But that's the Ran will look at you and say, the act is an act that is fundamentally permissible, therefore we're going to prohibit it everywhere.
Why is the Mishnah interpreted as Maris Ayin and not as Derech? Why isn't it just...
Which Mishnah? Art?
Art. It's just...
Because the Gemara says so. Because the Gemara says so. Yeah. That's the idea. Sorry.
Okay.